This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
We got a lot to talk about. I didn't think we were going to have a lot to talk about. We were trying to come up with ideas. And this week, the NWA came out with Carnyland. I can't talk about this by myself, so I have to bring in my partner. He does every show on this freaking network and all the other networks on Place to Be Nation. So I'm not even going to say them all because he's on everything. Like he used to make fun of me when we were on radio, that I was on every show. He's on every show. But he does a great job. Bring in my partner, Scott Criscolo. How you doing, buddy?
You know, I actually counted today. How many shows I'm on. And I guess it all depends. Welcome, everyone. It's good to be with you and good to be with you, the doctor, for another edition of the Saturday special. And I actually technically do 3.5 shows on the Place to Be Wrestling Network feed. I do technically one show on the Pop feed. I do one show on the Jenny position, and I have not been invited on the No So. I am not No So. I am So No.
You're No No.
So I'm No No on the No So. Anyway, good to be with you, Doctor. As the doctor said, we mentioned at the end of last week's show, we were going to enter Carnyland this week.
Yeah,
Carnyland was this very strange idea where something in the mind of somebody, whether it's Billy Corgan or Dave Lagana or a combination of everybody, but we had no idea what we were getting ourselves into. But unlike... This is the one thing the NWA, and probably the same for Ring of Honor and even New Japan and Impact to a certain extent. Impact's kind of in between. But let's just say for the NWA, for our show, for our sake, unlike WWE and AEW, where they have to keep going because they have a lot of commitments, the NWA doesn't have as many fiscal commitments as WWE or AEW does. And, of course, AEW this weekend has probably their version of SummerSlam, I guess. And that's Double or Nothing, of course. All Out is their WrestleMania. And they're doing it in an empty building. But they've got to keep trucking along just like WWE does because they've got so many fiscal commitments, whereas the NWA really doesn't. They work this own studio. They're not doing shows. So now they can have a little fun and think outside the box to keep us entertained on their YouTube channel. Well, this past Tuesday, they premiered the first episode of Carnyland. Carnyland is a fictitious place where kayfabe rules, or so it seems. Joe Galli and all the rest of the crew, Stu and certain superstars, have certain roles. And you and I were somewhat skeptical, but I had faith for two reasons. Because you're dealing with two guys that are good, and we're going to get into these two guys a lot tonight. This is going to be like the Dave and Billy show, because most of the show tonight, this week, is going to be about them, Dave Lagana and Billy Corgan. You have an entertainment guy, and you have a wrestling guy. They're the perfect yin and yang. They don't really step over in each other's lanes, and that's a trustworthy thing. You know what I'm saying? I think the NWA is in good shape because of that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I definitely thought, you know, it was going to be something obviously maybe kind of skit related just by based on the name. But what I didn't realize when they were calling this Carnyland, there's a show called Carnyland, but really the whole week of shows, I guess they're kind of, you know, making it a package called Carnyland. So all the shows kind of relate to each other kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I like the fact that they're trying to stay relevant. They're trying to stay, and we'll get into a lot of this because the Inside the NWA show that's that premieres, what is it, on Thursdays, correct? Or
what's that? Thursdays?
The Inside the NWA show.
Wednesday.
Wednesdays. Okay. Wednesday. I'm getting my, you know, this coronavirus, my week's all messed up. I don't even know what day it is half the time. But on Wednesdays, and we'll get into when, you know, what they spoke about. But what I like about it is that, okay, they can't have any live events, so we're going to stay relevant with our roster by doing these shows. And I, like I said, and I keep saying it all the time, I don't really watch the other mainstream wrestling at this point. This is my wrestling in terms of current wrestling these days, because they had me hooked before all this happened, but now with the you know, this Carnyland, I couldn't keep my eyes off. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed every minute of it. I mean, what did you think of, you know, so you and I think we actually sat and watched it together. Sometimes we are able to watch the shows together, sometimes we're not. So when we sat and watched the actual show, Carnyland, where they premiered everything that was going to happen for the week, what is right. your thoughts? What was your thoughts on all of it?
Well, it was different. It was eye-opening. But it was clearly a company that's trying to – that's succeeding, in my opinion, at entertaining differently. They're instead of trying to put out wrestling, and Billy made a point on Inside the NWA, which we'll talk about in a second, about right. the whole wrestling in empty buildings and stuff. They're in such a small place that empty wrestling for them right now, you know, they can't afford – they're not going to do long power tapings by themselves flying. As you can tell, guys, you know, now that we've learned over this week that these NWA guys live – you know, Billy lives in Chicago. Joe Galli lives in San Antonio. I don't know where Dave lives. Eli Drake lives in LA. We'll talk about him in a minute. You know, I'm sure James Storm lives somewhere in Tennessee, I think, or Kentucky.
He does.
You know, guys are living all these different, you know, Billy Corgan can't afford to fly all these guys in with a risk of COVID and record 9 powers like he normally does. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. It's the if there's any, not counting the big two, but they have big enough crowds anyway. If any promotion was feeding off of a crowd's energy, it was the NWA, and not having that is just a waste of time.
I agree. And you know, the thing is with the Carnyland thing is that they're trying to do things differently than with the other wrestling companies. They're not trying to compete with WWE. They know that. I mean, you hear Billy talking in there. You know, he's a humble guy. He's not. They're just trying to offer an alternative. They have 250,000 subscribers on YouTube. Yep. And if you're listening to this and you're not a subscriber, support the NWA. Subscribe to their YouTube channel. I think they're doing a pretty good job of getting, you know, some stuff out to market, you know, their shop, to their shirts and everything. They're starting to dabble in that and get bigger and better with that as time goes along. And as we will speak about the Inside the NWA, they actually said they're doing much better than they expected when it came to merchandise, which will help pay some of these guys that haven't been able to wrestle in a couple of months. I mean, what I liked about it, they start off with a nice message from Eddie Kingston. I just love that guy. He is just awesome.
Yeah, I do too.
You know, I'm from New York, so you know me. I love that New York attitude. So he's just got that little New York edge to him. But I like what he had to say. Is very, you know, very positive. And then, you know, then it goes into, you know, Joe Galli explaining Carnyland, and then, you know, Stu Bennett coming on, and they have their little back and forth, and you know, that's kind of cool. I mean, I like Stu. He's I think he does a great job. I think he, you couldn't have picked. At first, I had to get adjusted to him for the first couple of shows, but maybe in the end, I mean, I thought Cornette was good because, you know, he brought that old NWA feel, but actually I think Stu's better. I'm actually enjoying him better.
Yeah,
I think he works better with Joe Galli than
yeah. Cornette. We'll talk more about Stu and those guys when we get to the Inside the NWA segment, because they really do break that down and
yeah, I mean, that's
a good conversation.
The Carney Land stuff, you know what it reminded me of? Like the Edge and Christian show. I mean, again, I know they're trying to be a little different, but if I had to compare it, so if somebody's listening to this for the first time and, you know, you just kind of want to get in and you haven't watched Carney Land yet, the actual show Carney Land on the YouTube channel. I would say, didn't you get that feel like it was a little bit of like the Edge and Christian show?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Making fun of themselves and being very self-deprecating. I absolutely agree with that. Yeah. So after the Eddie Kingston message, Joe Galli tries to explain Carney Land, but narrator Stu cuts him off. I love the byplay. It's like Gorilla and Bobby, except the heel is more powerful. Then they explain Carney Land, and then we get the first kind of segment. It's almost like a telling stories, almost like the storytelling show that WWE had with the cartoons. And right. Nick Aldis talks about a promoter trying to rip him off or trying to pull a fast one and make him the collateral damage. A typical,
I liked how they did like the video footage, kind of like
and the like fast the editing. Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, Dave Lagana is awesome anyway.
Right. So they do that. And that was pretty funny. Then we go to Carney Land College, and I think we're going to have a quote class every week. And Allison Kay teaches us the art of the generic heel promo, which I thought was really fucking funny. Then I look into the camera menacingly because I forgot my last line.
But they do that. But that it's kind of that's why it's called Carney Land. It's kind of like the kayfabe. They're kind of shooting on it, making fun of it a little bit, and just have not to a point where they're disrespecting the business, but just kind of bringing out the humorous side of the business that you know people know about now. I remember years ago, you didn't know about that stuff, but because of all the dirt sheets and. You know, now things are a little bit more open. Now you can kind of goof on those things, which I kind of enjoyed it. You know, again, it's different. It's different. You may have this may be like a show you may have to watch a couple of times.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt. You got to go into it with a certain frame of mind. So she does that. And I think next week it's the no heat class or something. Then Eli Drake talks about he's doing one of the daily shows, the Eli Drake show, which is almost like a podcast. I watched the first episode this morning and we'll talk about that in a minute. Tim Storm gives us a history lesson on Benjamin Franklin. Remember, Tim Storm's a teacher by trade.
Teacher, yeah.
So they know
people know that he's a teacher, and they're kind of like playing off that.
So they give him a position of strength. Exactly. Yep. So he does that about Benjamin Franklin, which is pretty funny. He wrote a book about farting, which I thought was funny. Dave Marquez comes up because everyone thinks he's like the dry, no fun guy who has no sense of humor. He talks about the Carney translator, and this made me laugh my ass off. It's like, you know how you feel like you really don't believe somebody? Well, we have the Carney translator. When a promoter tells you the check is in the mail, what they're really telling you is, hey, man, I need this $30 to put a down payment on a replica wrestling belt. That was fucking great. When a wrestler tells you, I'll be there early. What they're really telling you is, hey, all these marks are selling me or buying me drinks at the hotel lounge. I'll be there after the third match. That's awesome.
That's funny.
Then when fans tell you at conventions, I'll be right back at your table and I'll bring some of my friends. What they're really telling you is we're about to start 17 podcasts about you and never buy a ticket again. That was the best one. I know a lot of them and I ain't it. So that was funny. That was a good little quirk about, you know, wrestling fans and promoters and wrestlers. Josephus, your pal there, Josephus, gives us In These Uncertain Times. He talks about a book and he makes fun of the fact that he's never been a champion. So that was pretty funny. Nick Aldis talks about his weekly show which will be on Mondays. We'll go through the schedule in a minute, called What's Causing All This? So it's evident, obviously, that Nick Aldis has been getting he's been hearing the comparisons to Flair. He's not Flair. He knows he's not Flair. But he's doing what he can in this bubble of the NWA. Anyway, he's going to do a weekly show. He's going to chat with some guys about stuff.
Past gimmick, he was really basically career. Making fun of podcasters, which I thought was kind of funny.
Yeah, I thought it was funny. Like,
you know, I'm going to use your Wikipedia, yeah.
Look, I'm gonna break the fourth wall. Sometimes we do need the wiki page. We just don't admit we're using it. If you have to actually say on the pod, according to your wiki page, you're a fucking idiot. Anyway.
Well, sometimes David Penzer sometimes say that he uses, you know, he uses the internet. Or so I think Aldis was on. I think I've heard him on his show. So again, I don't think he was being mean about it. I think it was just, you know, kind of goofing on it. Again, you know what? If you can't make, you know, have a little self-deprecating humor in your life, then you really have issues. You know what I'm saying? And these yeah. guys are doing it themselves. That's what the show is all about. You know,
absolutely.
I thought it was funny. Listen, I'm doing a podcast, so he's making fun of, you know, making fun of me. You know, I don't care. I think it's funny because he's right. You know, but I'm looking forward to his show.
Yes, I agree. So we talk about his show, then Joe and Stu tell us about Inside the NWA, which will be on Wednesdays, and we'll talk about that premiere episode this week, which is very, very informative, probably the highlight of the week.
Me too. I thought it was the highlight of the week.
Yeah. Then we get another history lesson. This one called Mongrovia Unmasked from your friends at Mongrisium Home Video.
I love how
Aaron Stevens is making fun of like WWF tropes, WWE tropes. You like how we the week that it came out that Vince says he hates the word belt, he likes the word championship. And so when that promo that Aaron Stevens cut with the Rock and Roll Express, and he kept looking in the camera, kept saying belts. We want to have a shot at the tag team belts. I have the national heavyweight belt. It was absolutely hilarious because they are belts. You're an idiot, Vince. So he does a history of Mongrovian history with question mark. Then we get, this was so fucking trashy. Our world television champion, the outlandish Zicky Dice, does a call in with this kind of like, I don't know, middle-aged cougar or whatever with blue hair named Fiona. And he's trying to pick a date with her. Typical 80s sleaze. Perfect for Zicky Dice is almost like a G-rated Joey Ryan, except without whipping his wiener out or having, you know, guys dressed in condoms behind him. But he's kind of in that same kind of sleaze bag. You know, greaseball kind of gimmick, which is a fun heel gimmick for NWA right now, you know, with his pink fanny pack. But he is, at the moment, the world television champion, and God only knows how long he will be. And then we wrap up the show with Joe Galli, who promotes the week's schedule, which we'll do right now. So on Mondays, now they're not all going to be at 6:05. Tuesday at 6:05 will still be Carnyland as a show. So this coming Tuesday at 6:05 will be Carnyland number 2. The other shows and the other days of the week vary, you know, in some capacity. Mondays will, on the YouTube channel, this is on the YouTube channel now, Mondays will be What's Causing All This, which is Nick Aldis and guests. His first episode this coming Monday, his guests are going to be Tom Latimer, one of his Strictly Business associates, and his buddy Crimson, who I think's the guy from that promotion in Tennessee that teamed with Jack Stain. I think it's that guy. So they're going to talk this week. Tuesday is Carnyland. Wednesday will be Inside the NWA. This week it was later. I think it dropped like at 9 o'clock. But that's on Wednesday. Thursday is the Eli Drake show, and we'll talk about that in a minute. That's pretty much Eli Drake doing pretty much a podcast from his house. He lives out in L.A. And then on Fridays, now this week we didn't get a chance to watch, although I don't even know if it dropped on the NWA. It may not premiere till next week. Girl Power, which will probably be a show, I'm assuming probably hosted by Mae Valentine or somebody like that. And it'll probably have the highlight the women of the company, such as Allison Kay, of course, the world champion Thunder Rosa, maybe Melina, Tasha, Tasha Steeles and you know, Marty Bell and all the rest of the women's division. So that's the schedule. So Monday, what's causing all this? Tuesday is Carneyland, and that's the only one that's bona fide at 6:05. Wednesday, Inside the NWA. Thursday, the Eli Drake Show. And Friday is Girl Power.
Yeah, I don't.
That's for the time being.
I don't see Girl Power on here.
Okay, so maybe they're not premiering until next Friday. Maybe they're not premiering until next Friday. But Girl Power is the show that'll premiere. Now, local time, as we're recording, it's almost 10:30 Eastern on Friday night. So if it's not dropping, they may not premiere it till this coming week. So that's fine. So that's the schedule of fun and games between now for now, while we don't have any wrestling to watch for the NWA. So overall, Carneyland was a lot of fun. It's something WWE could do, and you know, they're kind of taking WWE and AEW's kind of cinematic thinking. And if you're watching this after Saturday, and if you watched Double or Nothing, let us know if the Stadium Stampede match, which is that match, the 5-on-5 inside the Jaguar Stadium. I'm curious to see what kind of mess that's going to be. And a good mess. I'm not saying a bad mess, but it could be a mess either way. But it should be interesting.
Listen, you know, again, and Billy was saying this in the interview, because I know we're going to talk about that. He's not – listen, he gives credit. Those companies, they have to do what they have to do. They have certain contracts. They have, they have TV contracts that they have to live up to. And, he feels for those wrestlers, because you do feed off a crowd. And they're doing the best they could do. Listen, we may not totally enjoy it, and that's why we're not really watching it. And again, that's why you have a choice to watch what you want to watch. But they're doing what they need to do for their companies, and Billy's correct. Doing what he needs to do for his company.
Absolutely.
And that's it. You can't put them down for what they have to do. I mean, you know, WWE got a $1 billion contract from Fox. They have to produce something. That's in their contract. I'm sure, you know, if they have the capabilities to do it, then Fox is going to expect it. And that's just the way sure. it's going to be. And
now Fox has to understand, though, on the other side of the coin, that is having crap live programming better than classic programming? Live or not live, if the ratings blow, maybe they want to double think, that, you know, think again about this, at least for the time being.
Well,
but that's not
we don't
make that money, so it's not our problem.
No, but the thing is that what else are they going to put in the place right now that you can't?
Gee, there's
really
75,000 hours of stuff on the network. They could put whatever the fuck they want. FS1 put WrestleMania 3 on last Tuesday. Put on an old SmackDown, just like USA should be doing old Raws. These Raws are fucking garbage. They shouldn't even bother. Put on classic Raws, and then Friday.
But I agree
SmackDown.
With you. I that's why I'm not watching it. But I try to look at things sometimes. You know, I have my opinion, which is that's why I'm not watching it. See, I chose not to watch it.
Right. Exactly.
But I also understand the business side of it, and the business side of it is if they have contracts that they have to live up to, and you know, and listen, it could be that both companies feel like, listen, we're going to pay these guys. We're making money off our TV contract. Then we're going to put them to work. We're going to keep them
I got
working.
An idea. How about you split the difference? Do like a weekly best of SmackDown history, have live hosts, and then use taped segments. Gee, there's always a outside the box thinking for any of these things. If Fox wants 2 hours of live programming that fucking bad, then you're going to get shit ratings.
I mean, I don't work for either one of these companies, so I don't know
what's
going on behind the scenes. But
what's funny,
you know,
everybody
sits here and they try to like, you know, think that they're CEO of the company, and
right.
you know, I'm sure that some of this stuff is being tossed around. I mean, I don't think it's, you know, things that we're all coming up with. It doesn't take a brain surgeon to come up with,
no.
but I think that they have to have reasons.
They're obviously using the classic programming because, again, last week. FS1 did WrestleMania 3, which was kind of cool. The other thing they should be doing right now at WWE is not that we are running on a tangent here, but it is kind of correlating with the NWA, because they're lucky they don't have to have this problem, believe it or not. On the one hand, yeah, they wish they had WWE's money, but on the other hand, they don't have to spend money.
Billy said in the interview, and again, I don't want to say everything that was in the interview, because I want people to actually tune in mm-hmm. if they haven't watched it yet to watch it. But I mean, the one thing that, you know, Billy was saying was, is that, you know, he understand, you know, like they didn't want to go that route. They could have gone that route and got GPB Studios and had matches and things like that. But they feel the best part about wrestling is the crowd. And I agree with them, because now, did you hear he was saying that, I guess the NFL was thinking about piping in.
Yeah. And having digital fans. You might as well pump Madden. You might as well have the guys play Madden like some of these other leagues are doing. I mean, that's so just ridiculous.
He goes, that's still, even if we did something like that, you're not going to get the show. The wrestlers themselves, they feed off the crowd, because you don't know. For instance, would question mark get over if they did it? You know, if they brought that character around with a, you know, kind of like how the WWE and AEW is doing it. No, you wouldn't know, because he got over from the crowd.
Yeah, sure. Uh-huh. Yep.
And that's the key component to all this. And so when they had to make a decision on what they were going to do, and their game plan was, we're not going to try to do what the other companies are doing. We're going to try to implement something else. And they did. It took a little while. I mean, it's not like they put this on right away. They were smart. They put in some of the old pay-per-views to kind of keep us interested and but for the most part, they were quiet up until this recent week. And I think that they're smart. They got their act together. They didn't try to rush something together. They got, you know, they put their minds together, and they said this was something they were thinking about doing anyway. So now it kind of just sped up the process a little bit. And, you know, now now they needed this programming. So I one thing I really, really loved about the Inside the NWA, and I hope we get this I liked the fact how Dave and Billy were just totally honest. You know,
well, what do they got to hide?
There was no canned answers. You know? There was no,
not at all.
They weren't being defensive about anything.
There was nothing to be defensive about.
You know, and everybody, you know, I'm sure there's people that Chris said, well, Billy Corgan's, you know, he's a big, music star. I mean, he could just, you know, pay. No, you know what? He's a businessman too. And, you know, I don't know how much Billy Corgan's worth. Maybe he's worth $30 million, $40 million. I don't know how many, whatever he's worth. But that, besides the point, he owns other companies, and this is one of them. And I'm sure he's trying to do the best he
can.
I don't know what kind of contracts they have, if there is like a downside guarantee contract with his wrestlers. I really don't know. But he's doing the best he can to try to keep the interest, but also maybe have some funding coming in. That's what they were saying. Billy was saying about the merchandising.
Right.
The merchandising. So when they brought back some of the when Superpower came back, they noticed an uptick with, people purchasing stuff. But even throughout, they were surprised at how, you know, stuff was selling better than they expected.
Right.
Which is really nice, you know, and I think, you know, I think they definitely need to work on that a little bit more. And I think this is maybe it's time that they could actually spend time to think about the merchandising and getting more shirts out, different designs. Obviously, you don't want to have too much right now at this point, but just something to kind of keep the interest going. I mean, obviously, people like to buy the merchandise, you know, because they can go to a live event to wear it. But, you know, that'll come around at some point.
Yeah, no, but, I agree.
I mean, I just thought there was a lot of good inside things. I mean, I'm just trying to remember off the top of my head, because it was so much information. I mean, if you get a chance, if you haven't watched it, go to the YouTube channel, go to Inside the NWA. You really, really enjoy it. The one other thing I like was the Ken Anderson situation. They explained that, because you remember you and I were going, what happened to him all of a sudden? What did you think about that? I mean, you know, again, Billy and Dave were complimentary of his work, but they were pretty honest. Like, you know, we had to do what we had to do. We got a business to run, and we got to make sure that we're doing what's right for not only for the company, but for our fans. What was your take on that? Because I was totally shocked by that, because you remember you and I were going, we knew he got hurt, but we didn't know there was a little bit more to that story.
There was obviously some kind of, something, because it seemed very abrupt. He was supposed to wrestle at Hard Times. He did wrestle it into the fire. Him and Eli Drake were feuding. You and I had said that he looked a little out of shape. And maybe that's why, because of an injury. But then he missed his flight and all this other stuff. And I think Kenny will be back. It seems like Billy is very forgiving to a certain extent, as is Dave. I mean, you have to understand, we have to understand, too, that, again, Dave is the career wrestling guy. Billy is the career entertainment guy. So I think he kind of looks to Billy for maybe the etiquette or the protocols of kind of dealing with talent. And maybe Dave thought, listen, Ken's cool. Maybe he's just having some issues. Let him fix what he's got to fix, and then he can come back whenever he wants. So we'll see what happens over the next three or four months when the injury heals.
I didn't expect that they were going to cut ties forever.
Right.
Although he did mention that there would be somebody, Billy didn't mention the name of somebody that he would never work with again.
It could be anybody in TNA.
I was shocked. You know, he really praised EC3, and he kind of made it sound like they were kind of like talking to him. You know, like they weren't like trying to hide the fact that, you know, hey, he's a free agent. And I know in WWE, sometimes you can't work for like 90 days after you're released, and obviously there's nothing going on right now either.
Well, no competes. You know, I want to say this before you go any further, because I talked about this past week on the main event with Nate Milton. All these AEW fans who seem to think that AEW is the greatest promotion in the history of sliced bread, and that every single free agent is going to flock to the fucking Khan's checkbook. Two things. Number one, Tony Khan and these guys would be stupid to sign any talent right now. And B, no competes have been in the business since the dawn of time. So now, again, we don't know who the mystery guy is that's the final participant in the casino battle royale, or whatever the fuck it was called this weekend, to crown a number one contender for the AEW world title. But of course, on the internet, you know, on message boards and YouTube channel, oh, it's Rusev. Oh, it's Leo Rush. These guys all had no competes. Whether they were granted releases or they were furloughed or released, they still all had no competes.
Yeah, I mean,
everybody's
contract could be a little bit different. You know, it could be, I mean, it could be one of those guys showing up. Who knows? I mean,
I said on main event that it could be any one of the guys, depending on how the card's laid out. It could be MJF, even though he's in a match. It could be any of the guys in that 10-man tag, like Kenny or even Jericho or something. It could be totally internal. You know, it's one of those.
It could be. If it is somebody from outside, listen, I think the one guy that I think, and I know we're kind of going a little off the rails here, but I think the one guy that AEW should sign, and I think he would be great there, would be Rusev.
I agree. But I guarantee you Rusev has a no-compete. But he has a no-compete, I guarantee you. So he probably can't do anything for AEW until probably like July.
Yeah.
Now, he was released in April, so the clock's ticking.
I agree. I mean, but you never know. There could have been some agreement behind the scenes. Who knows?
Maybe.
I don't really know. But the thing is, when it comes to the NWA, I mean, Billy's trying to take care of these guys as best as he can. And, you know, what I really got out of this is that he goes, you know, not everybody's always going to like each other, but there's a lot of respect in that locker room.
And yes,
You remember they were saying to Joe Galli, hey, Joe, you're always outside and, you know, on camera, but you don't see, like, throughout the – when they're doing the tapings, there's just a camaraderie there, and there's, you know, the guys want to be there, and everybody's, you know, willing to help each other. And so I think – that's, and you could see it. You could see it on screen. Like you get a feeling when you're watching it that, you know, everybody really enjoys working with each other. I mean, they had a lot of high praise for Tim Storm, which obviously you always hear great things. And they said Tim is always willing to help anybody, which I thought was really nice to hear. Obviously, they have a lot of nice things to say about Nick Aldis.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything else that I'm trying to think? I was shocked about the whole Scott Steiner thing. I didn't realize that Billy Corgan was such a big Scott Steiner fan.
seems like he's eased his tenor over the last like 10 years. So, you know, he's
listen,
you know,
if Scott Steiner likes you, people love him. If he doesn't like you, he's going to let you know. That's just the type of person he is. But Billy loves him. And, you know, I think they, you know, they were talking about, you know, because obviously he had that health issue that hopefully they'll be able to work with him again in the future, which would be interesting, you know, mm-hmm. see how they would do that. But again, obviously we got to get back to normal before they could do that. They really spoke about dealing with the whole COVID situation, which, again, I don't want to get into. We could probably sit here for another hour talking about that part. But I definitely think if you get a chance, listening to the interview, we just wanted to give you the highlights because Billy and Dave were really, truly, it was, you know, like when you normally you get a show from the company, it's going to have their spin on it. They were pretty open and honest, I thought, you know. I mean, I thought they kind of let you behind the scenes a little bit about how they what they're deciding to do to keep the company going. And
yeah,
they want to keep, you know, they Billy seems to be pretty committed. You know, he really does. He seems, you know, pretty committed to trying to mm-hmm. stick this out. I mean, nobody knows what the future is going to be like. Again, GPB Studios, if it's 200, they were saying, well, you know, what would it be like just to have 60 in there? We don't know. I don't know what they're going to do. Us as sports fans, right, we're just trying to figure out, you know, like, you know, we saw these rules that they want to do for MLB. In some ways, it's like, do I even want them even to play the season? Is it going to even be the same kind of game? Or is it just going to be like a watered down, like we're watching like a you know, kind of like how we're watching wrestling? I'm a Yankees fan. I don't want to watch a Yankees game or decide not to watch a Yankees game. Like, I'm not deciding to watch AEW or WWE because there's no crowd. I know that certain sports you can watch without having the crowd, but, you know, but wrestling, you need it. Wouldn't you agree? I mean, wrestling.
There's no doubt. Oh, no, of course. Absolutely. Absolutely. And
I think people just, you know, right now everybody's just looking for something, but it's just so indicative that you do need the crowd, and the fact that there is not much going on and people were stuck at home and people still were not watching wrestling or not watching the current wrestling product, I should say.
Right. Right.
You know.
No,
and I think that NWA is smart to put something that's different. And again, YouTube, you just got to go to the YouTube channel, subscribe. You don't even have to subscribe to watch it, but, you know, obviously we'd love for you to subscribe. And
well, if you subscribe, you get notifications, and that's what you want. So, you know,
so the Carneyland that we watched the other day, they have 51,000 views. Not too bad. The Superpower did 132,000 views.
Yeah. Yep.
So I have to look back to see how things were, like what kind of views they were getting on the Powers every week. Some of the other Powers average 181,000. So, I mean, they were 190,000. So, yeah, a little bit less, but still getting the hits. I mean, Eli Drake was just put a day ago, and he's got, you know, 9,700 views already. The Inside the NWA has 14,000 views, but I'm going to tell you something right now, guys, you're missing out if you don't listen to that. I think it's a phenomenal, because you know how we were talking about on the shows so when we started this, we didn't really know how things really worked behind the mm-hmm. scenes and how they put, now a lot of the questions that we were asking, obviously now the coronavirus stuff was spoken about, now we kind of get a better idea.
Right.
And kind of get an idea on the philosophies of Lagana and Billy Corgan. Did you get a good impression that they're on the same page? That they probably have their little battles behind stage, like behind the scenes, like anybody else. Like you and I, we're best friends. We argue about things behind the scenes, but, you know, we work together on, you know, different projects and stuff like that. But in the end, we always get on the same page. But I think you need that. You can't have a yes man all the time. You know, Bruce Pritchard says that about Vince McMahon, and I think that's why Bruce is around, because Bruce will not always tell Vince what he wants to hear. Again, Vince may win out in the end. He's going to make the decision, just like, you know, Billy's the ultimate decision maker. But sometimes you need somebody to challenge you a little bit, so you could bring out the best and bring out what's really needed. Or, you know, sometimes you need to take a different view, or you have to think outside the box. And I think they're thinking outside the box with the way they're setting up this whole week of Carnyland. And there's something, you know, every night of the during the week. So if you don't get a chance to watch it during the week, then you catch up and watch it on the weekend.
Absolutely. And I would definitely subscribe to the YouTube channel, and because you'll get notifications and you'll know when stuff's popping up. You know, the merchandise is a big thing, and I want to talk about this for a minute, because I don't know if Billy and – well, let me answer your question, because you asked me a question. They're definitely on the same page, because, again, they stay in each other's lanes. Billy is an entertainment guy. Dave is a wrestling guy. And unlike in the past, where Eric Bischoff was an entertainment guy who tried to pretend to be a wrestling guy, or Vince Russo, who was a wrestling guy who didn't know anything else except wrestling and thought he knew more, and we all know what happened there Billy handles one thing, Dave handles the other. Now, obviously, Billy has to get his hands into the wrestling thing, because it's his company, it's his promotion. But for the most part, in terms of day-to-day, I'm sure he gives Dave some type of an outline, or kind of a broad brush thing of how he wants something to go, and Dave does the nuts and bolts of it, at least on the wrestling side. I don't want to say they battle, but I'm sure they don't, you know, fold over each other. But I do think that when it comes to a certain scenario of one aspect of the business or the other, they probably acquiesce to the guy who has more experience in that, whether it's entertainment or the sports or the wrestling part. I want to talk about the merchandise quick, because I'm on National Wrestling Alliance right now. There's a bunch of great stuff. They have like an NWA drawstring bag that's waterproof. They have a Carnyland t-shirt. They have a volume one, or I guess they, is that what they're called? Season one of NWA Power, which is the first 9 episodes. Or is it the first? Oh, wait. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. First 7 episodes. So it's on 2 discs. It's the first 7 episodes of Power. Again, if you're a collector junkie like me, you're going to get it. I'm not going to get it. But unless, of course, they start pulling old Powers off of the YouTube page, which is entirely possible because, you know, they want to get people to buy it. I'm wondering, and Billy and Dave didn't really get into this on the show, but I assume that the talent gets a cut of whatever is on here that pertains to them. Like, I'm sure Zicky Dice gets a piece of his pink t-shirt, which, by the way, I got you one. Happy Memorial Day. Oh, wait, Memorial Days aren't happy. Have a day. I'm wondering if, I'm sure they get a little bit, but there are specific things on the NWA page that if you buy all of the proceeds go to like a pool that goes out to the staff and not necessarily the wrestling talent, because I'm sure they're doing okay, but to the staff, you know, behind the scenes people, catering and, you know, makeup and ring crew and that kind of stuff that are doing pretty much nothing and not getting paid. So that's the people you feel bad for. I'm going to say not to feel bad for the wrestlers, but most of these guys look like that. You know, because NWA is not exactly getting paid by Vince or by the cons. So I'm sure that they took care of their money. Like somebody like Eli Drake, who spent a lot of time in Impact and TNA, I'm sure he took care of his money and he's doing, you know, okay right now. Speaking of t-shirt, I want to detour for a second. If you go to prowrestlingtees.com, and we talked, Nate Milton and I talked about what happened, sadly, with Shad Gaspard this week. If you go to prowrestlingtees.com, they actually have a Shad t-shirt, which is actually pretty cool. And all of the proceeds, it's $25, which is mostly their t-shirts. All of the proceeds go to Shad's family. So why don't you take it over?
I saw that a GoFundMe was set up for him as well.
So
go to GoFundMe. It's a shame because, I mean, you hear such great things about him behind the scenes that he really was a good guy, you know. And
yep.
I did hear him on a podcast maybe within the last 6 months. And, you know, he was trying to, you know, make a go out of his acting career. But they have a little compilation on WWE. They did, you know, some of his stuff with Crime Time. Oh, my gosh. Some of that stuff, I forgot about it. It was so funny when they were They were. What did he call V-Mac, or what did he call Vince McMahon? Oh my gosh, it was so funny.
I don't remember. They need to do a Crime Time playlist on the network. They have all these playlists of everybody else. They have a Savage list, a Foley, a Triple H, I think there's a Steve. You know, like a bunch of different playlists. They need to do a Crime Time.
You think he's in something like V-Mac or something, and then they're all like dancing around going, money, money, yeah.
Yeah, no,
and they put the hat on William Regal, and then he joins in the little thing, and they go around.
I had forgotten that they got released and then came back. They got. I looked this up when I was on main when Nate and I were on Main Event. They got released in 07, came back a year later in 08, and lasted for two more years. They both got released in November of 2010.
I loved Crime Time.
So anyway, I just wanted to say a lot of people are in that Amazon buying phase right now. Everybody's buying things. There's nothing else to fucking do. Well, go to ProWrestlingTees.com and the Chad shirt's pretty cool, actually. It's got a picture of his Timberlands. And all the money goes to the family. So something to think about. The reason I'm saying that is because we're talking about merchandise. And obviously there's a ton of good stuff on the website. You know, I know we sound like we work for the NWA, but I wish we did. I wish I did work for the NWA, actually.
Me too. But we don't,
sadly. As a matter of fact, this Eli Drake t-shirt, Shoes of a Champion, this is the shirt he was wearing during the show. So just quickly, the Eli Drake show, by the way, the Inside the NWA, I don't know if it's going to be the same length every week. It's a meaty interview with Dave and Billy. It's like an hour and 4 minutes. And again, if you're at work, just put the YouTube thing on and just do your work. You don't have to watch them. Just listen. You don't have to watch the screen. Oh, it's just their three fucking mugs. So, you know, but you definitely want to listen. The Eli Drake Show is a podcast. It's him in his office in his apartment in California. He's not married. He has a girlfriend, I think. And he just shoots the shit. It's a little rough, but he does his best. It's not short. I would say it's like 57 or 58 minutes. It's not short, but again, something you don't have to watch him do. Put it on at work or whatever and just listen. And it's fun. He fucks around. He tells a Shad Gaspard story when Eli Drake was a, you know, enhancement talent in WWE for a short time in 2006, 2007. And so he talks about that and talks about, you know, like the Last Dance documentary with the Bulls and a bunch of other stuff. So he's on every Thursday. As Dr. G mentioned, he didn't see it on the YouTube page. I guess Girl Power, which is the Friday show, will probably premiere next Friday. Didn't premiere this past week. So this Monday will be just to recap again, this Monday is What's Causing All This, which is Nick Aldis's little show with him. And this week it's Tom Latimer and Crimson, the guy from the promotion in Tennessee that did the New Year's Clash show in 2019. Tuesday is Carneyland. Wednesday is Inside the NWA. And I'm looking forward to like what different guests, Doctor, that Joe will have on every week. Like I would love to sit and talk to – I would love to have him sit with Tim Storm, because you and I watched some of the 10 Pounds of Gold, and he was like he looked like Josephus in like fucking 1992, 93. So I'd love to hear like how Tim Storm kind of had this renaissance late in his career, you know, to eventually become the world's heavyweight champion. So that would be fun. So that's every Wednesday. The Eli Drake show is Thursdays, and this Girl Power, which again, probably hosted by Mae Valentine or whatever. It's going to have probably have Thunder Rosa and Allison Kay and some of the ladies, is on Fridays, but there was not an episode this past week. So it's probably this coming week that may debut.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think it's an action packed week. What's good about being on YouTube, you can watch it at your own leisure. You don't
at
have
your
to
leisure
or exactly. As leisure, as you would say.
Leisure.
So. But I would definitely say, you know, check them out. I mean, if my pick of the week, I mean, the Carneyland stuff was really cool, but definitely watch that Inside the NWA. If you really want to know about the nuts and bolts and behind the scenes of what's going on with the NWA, watch the Inside the NWA with Billy and Dave Lagana, and definitely, you know, check out the stuff every week. Let's support them. You know, if you're listening to the show, I'm assuming you're an NWA fan like we are. We want to, you know, we're sitting here, we're pimping it because we want to see it continue. It's right. Not that we're working for them or anything like that. And listen, we're going to be critical when we need to be critical. don't get me wrong. I mean, right now, I think we're in a honeymoon phase. I think there's always a honeymoon phase when something's new.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. No, absolutely. Absolutely.
And now, there'll be times, I'm sure, that will be like, you know, critical of something, you know, just like anything else. But I think when something's really good, you need to really, you know, I try to be positive. You know, obviously there are some negative things out there and we all get negative from time to time. But I think with a company like this, they're trying to do something that's different, just an alternative. That's, you know, and I think, you know, they're succeeding so far. I think they're doing a pretty good job. I mean,
yep,
I'm sure they would love to have a TV contract. But that's not happening yet. So maybe eventually they will be. But, you know, hey, they do pretty good, you know.
No, they absolutely
for being
do.
On a YouTube channel. I mean, you know, what's the high number these days for like AEW, you know, like, or even when things were good, let's say, you know, they were hoping to get what?
900,000.
900,000.
875,000.
See, figure they don't even have that kind of promotion on YouTube, and sometimes they're getting 200,000 downloads. So, I mean, they're doing okay. You know, again, there's so much out there for everybody right now. So everybody has their little niche market. And right now, you and I, this is what we're enjoying. This may not be for everybody. There may be somebody that's into, like, you know, the Japanese wrestling this might not be for them, or they want to see big and they want to see WWE. There's still those WWE fans. And listen, I'm still a WWE fan. I'm just not enjoying it right now. So I'm going with an alternative, but you know, do we always support in the end? Of course, you know, you make sure you go to WrestleMania every year. You may not watch it every week, but you'll still support the big shows. You know, they're still the standard bearer. You know, they're still going to always be around. There's nothing wrong with having alternatives and having a lot out there and a choice. Because for a little while, we didn't really have much of a choice. Mm-hmm. Now we have a choice, and that's what's fun about it. And that's what's fun about what they're doing. And I just love the excitement that that Billy and Dave have for the NWA. Like, they're really committed. Obviously, Dave, this is his job. He's really going to be committed. But even Billy, you could tell he really wants to. He doesn't want this to fail. He wants this to keep going. But, you know, it's hard for people to make a prediction because you don't know what the world's going to look like, at least over the next year. So now they have something in place. And the best way to support them is their merchandising. Listen, there are a lot of people that maybe listen to this that are without a job or whatever. Hey, you can't do that stuff right now. Don't worry about it. But for those who can, purchase a shirt. Purchase a, you know, something that you like. As long, you know, something, not just for the sake of purpose. You know, if you like what's on the website. Because that's what's going to keep this company going. And then support watching the shows. Because I'm telling you, if you're listening to this and you haven't watched any of these shows, the ones that did premiere this week, you're missing out. You're missing out. You need to go to that YouTube channel. And I just love that Inside the NWA, because I remember I was watching it before you, and I texted you and I said, you're going to love this. You have to watch it. And you were all over it. And you did your little notes for us.
You are the voice of reason. We need you in our lives. And if we don't have wrestling, we always have Uncle Tony's waffles and tire irons. And we also have what was the other one? Austin Idol's Wrestling Psychology School, or whatever the fuck it is. Anyway, whatever the fuck it is.
Anyway. But this is I'm excited now. We have some meat on the bone to talk about every week. And, you know, we're not going to sit there and break down every single show for you because,
oh, my God. My God. Stop. You've ripped the curtain off. Go eat some cookies. You're ripping the curtain off the fucking pole thing. Leave things in the closet. Leave things. You're like breaking all of the kayfabe, Steve Austin.
Listen, shut up.
Why did you tell him about my notes? my prized waffle and tire iron notes. Anyway,
but I'm hoping that, you know, in other weeks, you know, we'll talk about some of the stuff. But I think we are gonna. I would like to go back and do like a match from time to time, you know, from the 80s, you know, like we were going to originally do before.
Well, thank you for giving me permission to bring back the matches. What's next? You're going to start playing No Chance in Hell when you walk in now too? You and Billy, you're going to have your little scarves and your little Zozo hats on too?
Is Dave
going to be like Shane with his poofy shirts? Is that like the three of you? You're like the fucking authority? The GPS authority?
We're going to make like Stu made Joe Galli go away. You're going to go away.
Well, we hope you enjoyed this week's edition of the NWA Saturday Special. We'll be back next week, and we'll recap the week in the company, see how the roster's doing. We'll probably see who the guest this week on Inside the NWA is. We'll have some fun with this week's Carnyland, and have some fun. And if we have some time, we will continue our research into the greatest WCW NWA match of all time. I had some on my mind before all this came down. So we're going to keep talking about it because if you want to talk about old matches, son, you're doing a ballot. The doctor's doing a ballot. He blew off the other three. He's not blowing this one off. So he needs some homework anyway for his hair turn, before he starts looking like Doc Brown and Back to the Future with his fucking hair. Anyway.
Oh my gosh, this hair is crazy.
Now that we can't go to the barber in Connecticut till fucking 2027. So
if we did this on YouTube, we'd really have fun. Well, if we did this on YouTube, we'd have beers in our hands. But
well, my PIC, Mr. Azzaro, showed me he took a picture of his hair today, and if he didn't have it greased, he'd look like the Fonz. So he's another one who fucking needs a haircut like the rest of us. Anyway.
Oh wow!
Have a great week. Join us. We'll see you next week for the next NWA Saturday Special. I am Scott. He's the doctor. And as usual, you're not.
Ciao.